before God. And join in singing 514 as we remain standing. who is our refuge and our strength. Let's turn in our hymnals now to sing of forgiveness of Jesus Christ that was provided for us at Calvary.
Thank you. wasn't aware this song was already in the bulletin. But this is how we sang it about 25 years ago in the around the campfire. It's a little different. And this is how we sing it on Wednesdays. And if you have Wednesdays free, I'd recommend, you know, coming and joining us. And one day, we won't have Sunday and Wednesday. We'll have every day to worship God. Looking forward to that. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Sweet Holy Spirit, sweet Heavenly Dove, stay right here with us, filling us with your love. And for these blessings, we lift our hearts in praise. Without a doubt, we'll know we have been revived when we shall leave this place. Without a doubt, we'll know we have been revived when we shall leave this place.
Amen. Miss Andrea and the children. Then the Miss Jennifer will go with the children to Children's Church. Y'all want to come and meet with Miss Andrea this morning? She missed last Sunday, so she has 2 weeks for you this morning. 2 weeks.
Good morning. Sorry I missed last Sunday. I've had every intention of being here. And I'm one of those people that doesn't like to take medicine. And I think, you know, most sicknesses you can just wear them out. Well, this one wore me out. So Monday I went and got some medicine. And I'm almost back to normal now, me and Mr. Larry both. But it wasn't fun. It, you know, it was one of those things. I just couldn't lick it on my own. I had to have some help. One thing I've been thinking about a lot lately is how important it is that each generation of Christians be mentors to the younger generation, and that includes you. And you know what a mentor is? Does anybody know what a mentor is? A mentor is somebody that you can go to and for advice, not necessarily even somebody in your family. And I can remember years ago when my kids were growing up, one person that always offered to be a mentor was Mr. Jerry Bowers, you know, because sometimes when you're a teenager and you got things you want to talk about, you don't necessarily want to come to your mom or your dad, but it's always good to have someone to be a mentor. And so that's an example of what I'm talking about. Maybe you've got something on your mind and you're trying to test it and see if it's right or it's wrong, And believe it or not, in the Bible, God's Word tells us that we should test all things. And you can look it up. It's in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 21. And it says, test all things and hold on to everything that is good. Well, the only way you're going to know if something is true is to test it. And the best way to test it is to look into God's Word and see what God's Word says about it. And then if you've got questions, and you will have, you need to have a mentor that you feel comfortable with going to and talking to. And that mentor needs to be somebody that's solid in the Word of God. So you know that when you go to them with questions, they're going to help you out. But, you know, it might not even be something spiritual that you're wanting to find out about. Maybe it's just something you want to know how to do. You know, all kinds of things in life we need to find out how to do and set that example. But we all need, regardless of what age we are, we need to remember that the Lord has put us here on this earth to be mentors in the faith, mentors in life, mentors about all kinds of things. So remember that. You've got a real important role as you grow in the Word to help with the Word with others as they grow so they can come and do what it says in Thessalonians as test it. Test it to see if it's true. And if it's true, what do we need to do with it? Hold on to that which is good, right? Hold on to that which is good. Test it, make sure it's true. And if it's the Word of God, it's true, isn't it? Okay, that's what I'm saying. Ms. Melanie.
Jeff will come and read the scripture.
Thank you.
be to God. Do you know about the first call, or the first time that the Word of God came to Jonah? Sometimes we call Jonah, and Jonah, I guess. Read the first two chapters. And God called a second time. We'll talk about answering God's call. God's call to you. Tom Long. Does anybody know Tom Long? Probably not. He's a USA Presbyterian preacher, Presbyterian Church, United States of America. That's those blue stocking Presbyterians. He's a college seminary professor in a Methodist seminary. But isn't that a combination? And he came and spoke to a group of Cumberland Presbyterian ministers a number of years ago. And I found one of his sermons this week. And he had a great opening illustration, I thought, so I want to share it with you. He said when he was a boy and did something that he shouldn't have done, us boys, we've never been in that predicament, have we? We always did exactly what we were supposed to do. As I look around, I'm kind of going to doubt that, though. And as y'all look at me, you're going to say, no, you didn't. When he was a boy and did something that he shouldn't have done, his mother would look him in the eye and say, son, that was uncalled for. Have you ever heard that phrase, uncalled for? Long goes on to talk about, or to wonder out loud, or on paper, if being the person that we ought to be needs to be called for. If we do something that's uncalled for, that we shouldn't have done, that we should do, that right kind of living, does that have to be called for? And it probably is. Likely is. Long contends that one of the deepest human needs that we have is to be called for. Now, food is a human need. Water is a human need, if you separate drink and solid food. Love is a human need. And maybe being called for is one aspect of love, but Tom contends that one of the deepest human needs are hungers that we have is to be called for. But one of the deepest human fears that we have is that there is no one who cares enough about us to call for us. There was a man in the Bible that said, no man cares for my soul. That was his feeling of desperation, and that nobody cared. And it was a lamenting. He was sad. He wanted to be cared for. And I think we all want to be cared for some way or another. And sometimes children or teenagers or even young adults or senior adults want to be cared for even if it hurts the caring that comes to us. Like a parent that will look us in the eye and say, son, that was uncalled for. You won't do that again. Let's make sure you don't do it again. I'm going to give you some pain where you'll think about it before you do it again, or whatever it was. We who are Christians, We who are trusting in Jesus as our Savior and are attempting to serve Him as our Lord, we know that there is, and there has been, and that there will be some being in the universe that is calling us. See, we don't know to come on our own. We do not take the initiative to come to God through Christ. God takes the initiative. God sent His Son, Jesus, to call to us. Through the generations before Jesus, He spoke in various ways. God took the initiative and came to people. Some being calling us. That being is God. God does not stand apart from us. God is not indifferent to us. But God communicates with us. He calls us and we respond. God summonses us, if you will, to that which He is calling us to. He sends us a summons. One person told me this morning that he had received a summons to court. And God sends us a summons. This guy knew what a summons was. Some people desire to be called. I was watching the news one day. Not sure which day it was, but I believe it was the weatherman on Channel 5, that guy that looks like a 14-year-old. One of my friends says he's wearing his daddy's suits because he's too young to have a suit like that. But isn't he a pleasant young man? And he went to visit a school, I believe it was him, and talking to a group of fourth graders. And they had them all lined up where they could all get in the picture, but they'd ask the question and hands shot up like this. Let me answer, let me answer. We sent our fourth graders out. But they want to be called. Let me answer, let me answer. I can tell you whether they know the answer or not. They'll raise their hand. A few times I was embarrassed because I wanted to be called upon and I couldn't answer the question because I just didn't think she'd ever call on me and wanted to appear that she would. And then I was chastised for that. But some people desire to be called. And sometimes about eighth grade we say, I don't want them to call on me. Whether we really want them to call on us or not, we'll say, I don't want them to call on me. Others are afraid they will be called if it is God calling them, because there's something so mysterious about God's call, and it makes us so weird, some people think, maybe because us preachers have acted so weird, and I've tried to act like a normal person, directed by God, not weird. But I knew one preacher who would not meet a person. And this was days and days ago. I think it's kind of weird. He would not talk to a person without his necktie on. And he was a Cumberland Presbyterian preacher too. The story was, if he was cutting his grass and somebody came to his house to talk to him, he would go through the house first and clean up and put on his necktie and then go out and talk to them. And that's commendable, but isn't that a little weird? Now we don't wear neckties to the hospital, even. Or some preachers are preaching with a hanging out shirt and an open collar and very relaxed. I'm still wearing a suit. Maybe that's a little weird to some people. But anyhow, people try to avoid a call from God because they think it'll mess up their life and whatever. Hey, fellas, it's been a great ride, 40 plus years. Wouldn't swap it for $1 million, if you could say. Right. Some act like, though, that they don't want to be called, or even called by God, but really want Him to issue a call to them. Some don't want to be called by Him because they're fearful of God. They don't understand God hardly at all. Some, they want to be called, but they don't want to admit it. They really want Him to issue a call, but don't want to admit it. Or don't think they're worthy of it. I guess, you know, I can remember back, people would say, are you going to be a preacher? And, oh, no, I'm not, no, couldn't do that. And I didn't think I could, would. And some people might still think that, but that's their problem. And anyhow, that's kind of to set the place for a call. Now, have you thought about God's call to you this week? Have you thought about it? We talked about God's call last week. We talked about God calling who? Nathaniel. And we talked, kind of touched on God calling Samuel. Old Testament, New Testament. God calling Samuel and God calling Nathaniel in the New Testament. Jesus calling Nathaniel, but God calling Nathaniel through Jesus. This Sunday, we've read about the call of Jonah. We only read about the second call, the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. We read the first two chapters and learn about that first call. But quickly, Jonah refused the call. He heard it, and he ran the other way. I don't want to be called to go preach to the Ninevites. I don't like Ninevites. I'm afraid if I go preach to them, they'll get saved and won't go to hell, won't experience destruction. And I don't want to go preach to them. They deserve hell. And so he ran off the other way. Well, the big fish swallowed him up, but he made the fish sick. That's what is wrong when you vomit, isn't it? He burped, or at least it was indigestion, or vomited. I don't mean to be offensive, but it's a good word. I don't like that word, but it's very real. Jonah up on the shore, and then God called a second time, and he said, okay, Lord, I'll go. Went with anger, and I don't want to, Lord, but I'll go if you got me. He couldn't do anything else. He was afraid of another fish. Those stomach juices in that great fish were tough. Well, we could speculate a lot about that. But he went, and then when all the people got saved, even the king, he got mad, went out and pouted. He didn't want him to get saved. But anyhow, that's about Jonah. And then the call of Jesus to four disciples. New Testament. The call of God to an individual is not complete until the one being called answers. The call of God. And I thought that that's a message from God that I had. But the call of God is not complete until the one being called answers. Movie, Cool Hand Luke. All of us saw it, right? 1967. Who was the captain? Who was the captain of the work gang? You know who Luke was, don't you? Lucas, Luke, Paul Newman. You know, even we got a picture of my dad when he was about 30 or something. Looks just like Paul Newman. And we'd see that picture when I was a little boy and we'd have hope. My dad was deceased. And then I took after my wife's family. I mean, my mother's family. I took after my mother's family. So. But they were handsome and beautiful people too. Okay. Thank you. Boy, I've gone crazy, haven't I? Thank you. Okay. But Cool Hand Luke, 1967. Strother Martin is a road work gang captain. Paul Newman is a prisoner. Do you know why Paul was in prison? Do you know why Luke was in prison? Do you know what he did to get in prison? He cut the tops off of, I think one over here knows, he cut the tops off of parking meters, right? He didn't like parking meters. You have to bump them and hit them, and then they still don't do anything. You have to move your car, right? And they probably deserve being cut off. And he was a rebellious person and a nonconformist, and then he went to prison, and he was a nonconformist in prison. Okay, the captain, he does something, and I can't figure out what he did. He talks back to the captain, I think. I can only get a little blurb, but in my memory, way back there is so far so limited. But the captain hits him with that leather blackjack, I guess. And we used to have one of them at our house. Now, I don't know why we had a blackjack at our house. Don't know what happened to it. But don't remember ever being hit with it. But I remember one being at our house. And something that my dad had, I guess. I'm not sure. But anyhow, he hits him and knocks him off the road and down kind of an incline, maybe in a ditch or maybe the road is built up high. And looking at the little blurb, you can't tell much about that. And the captain explains, and you know this phrase because it's been everywhere and others have used it. Jackie Gleason used it in a movie or something, and it's lived with us. Like the word plastics out of The Graduate. Plastics. I thought he was so stupid. Well, what is made out of plastic now? Almost everything. Well, the phrase or the quote from Cool Hand Luke is, what we have here is failure to communicate. And then Martin goes on to say, or the captain goes on to say, some men you just can't reach. Some men you just can't reach. And sometimes it feels that way when God calls people. Or when you're trying to witness to them on behalf of God. Some men you just can't reach. When God is calling people to salvation or to service. Had a man told me yesterday, always telling me what I need to preach. And that's good. But he don't ever come to hear. So I made him a deal yesterday. Though I had a sermon almost prepared, this one, I said, if you'll show up tomorrow, I'll preach what you're suggesting. But I would have gone home, changed the subject. Some men you just can't reach. Some men you just can't reach. Or so it seems. What we have here is a failure to communicate. And I put all that in to say, unless there is a response, unless there is a response to the call, it seems to me that there is a failure to communicate. Communication is not complete. Telephone call. Well, it was this week I tried to make a telephone call. Busy. Happens about every week with my children or my wife. They've got cell phones. And we buy cell phones so we can keep in contact when we need to be in contact, right? Now, some people turn off their cell phone and only turn it on when they need it. But we bought for the children where we could get a hold of them. We got it for Carol, but we'll call and, well, sometimes I don't answer mine either, okay? The telephone call. So I cut it off in church. I'll cut it off. Got a call this morning at 9:24 where the phone was back there in the office so it wouldn't bother the service or wouldn't bother my coffee. That was during Sunday school and my coffee drinking. Anyhow, when you try to make a phone call, unless someone answers that call, there is really no communication, right? You've got something to say. You want them to respond, but they've got to answer. And that's what I'm trying to say. Unless we answer God's call, there is really no communication. We haven't communicated one with another. William Barclay, I've said it, one of my favorite theologians, Bible scholars, he comments on Jesus calling Peter and Andrew and James and John. And I think it's so appropriate to our setting here at Jenkins Cumberland Presbyterian Church today. He was a British writer, a British theologian, and died a number of years ago. And he calls us to notice who these men were. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. Who were they? They were simple folk. Simple folk. There were nothing special about them that we know except God called them. You may say, I'm not able to be called by God. God can't use me. Well, if he could use Peter, Andrew, James, and John, he can use you also. They were not from a university. They were not from aristocratic society. They were not learned men. They were not wealthy people, though some say that their daddy, Zebedee, James and John's daddy, may have had a little money because he had a hired man. But does that really mean that maybe he had sons that he knew were going to leave? He had a hired person, though. They were fishermen. Commercial fishermen. They were ordinary folk. Some would call these common people. But they were chosen for an uncommon role. Chosen for an uncommon role. So let us not think of who we are, and let us not think of what we are, but let us think in terms of what Jesus Christ can make of us. What were they doing when they were called? Barclay asked us to notice this. What were they doing when Jesus called them? They were going about their day's work. They were going about their day's work. They were fishing. They were mending nets. I touched on this last week, and I just touched on it this week. It was that way with many prophets. Many of the prophets. Amos, he was dressing sycamore trees and gathering sycamore fruit. We mentioned him last week. Gideon, I believe he was at the wine press, some press. Moses was tending to the animals on the backside of nowhere. Isaiah, he was in the temple, the one out of the four that was in the temple. He saw the Lord high and lifted up and received the call there. So you can receive a call in church or on the back 40. I've told about it before in case, but for you new or relatively new people, a man was called to salvation to be a worker in the local church as a layperson, actually called to be saved. God finally got through to him while he was on the roof of a house. Now, nobody told, I think they would have told it if it had happened, that he was sliding off and prayed and God saved him, or he is so scared or something. There is a story about that. The man's on the roof, starts sliding off, he starts clutching and clinging, and his ring catches on a nail that has kind of popped up. And as he's clutching and clinging, though, he is praying, Lord, save me, Lord, save me. And his finger, his ring on his finger catches on the nail and stops him, and he doesn't fall off. So he says, oh, that's okay, Lord. This nail has caught me. You can go on about your business. He didn't acknowledge, and that's an old tale that's been around all of my life, I guess. He didn't acknowledge that God put the nail there and enabled him to catch it. And some people might want to argue with that, but that's their problem. Lindenwood Trim, a neighbor, sharecropper who had gone from sharecropping to public work, carpenter's helper or something, came to revival. I understood as a young fellow that you could only get saved during revival time. Maybe it was because there was more emphasis on being saved during revival time. Once a week was the time to get saved. You missed it then, you couldn't get saved till the next revival. That wasn't true, but that's the way I thought. That was my understanding. revival was going on. Linwood became under conviction. People started witnessing to him. Linwood had a little drinking problem. Littlewood had some other problems. But they witnessed to him, and he wouldn't surrender to God. We got on the roof the next day. They came back to church that night. The testimony was that Linwood got saved. God got through to him. It wasn't that he had to get through to God. God was willing all along. But Linwood finally heard, believed, understood, claimed salvation through Jesus Christ. Going about his daily work, it couldn't happen that night before in church. He couldn't wait till he got back to church. It needed to happen to him on that roof. A simple man got saved as he went about his daily activities. Paul was going to arrest Christians. He didn't like Christians. And God got his attention. Jesus Christ got his attention as he was on the road to Damascus. You can read that one in the ninth chapter of Acts. Now, how did Jesus call these people? How did Jesus call them? He called them to follow me. Follow me. Very simple. Just follow me. And that's his call to us. If it's salvation, follow him. If it's a special work, follow him. We follow Jesus because of who he is. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. But what did Jesus offer these four men? What did he offer them? He offered them work. It wasn't mint juleps around the swimming pool all day, or whatever your favorite thing to do might be. It, not even iced tea around the swimming pool all day. Jesus did not call these men to a life of ease. He called them to service, to be of service in his kingdom. It took 12 men. We've talked about four of them here today. It took 12 men and knew that through them, the world would be turned. Some people said upside down, but it was really turning. They started turning it right side up. It's been said that every person needs something in which he can invest his life. William Barclay says that Jesus called these four and others to a task in which they have to spend themselves and then burn themselves up and in the end die for his sake and for the sake of their fellow man. Jesus called these four men to a task wherein they could only win something for themselves by giving their all to him and to others. What was in it for them? Eternal life. Eternal life with God. The joy of knowing that they were serving God in heaven. They spent eternity in his presence. But they could get that only as they gave their all for him, for Jesus, and for others. He calls us to the same thing. To a task. A work. A service. As I said, not iced tea sitting by the pool all day or a good warm cup of coffee sitting by the fire. It's not pool weather out there, is it? What do you say? What do you say? How will you respond? There was a rich young ruler came to Jesus. Wanted to know about eternal life, and they had a good conversation. And Jesus told him to get rid of all those goods that were hindering him and then come and follow Jesus. The guy said no. He walked away. Did Jesus ever give him another opportunity? Did he ever want another opportunity? Did he ever come back in Jesus' presence? Did their paths ever cross again? Jonah got a second chance. We're not assured of that if we walk away. Two songs. I was looking for one and found it and found another. One of them is Who Will Follow Jesus? It's by E. Hewitt. And the music is by William J. Kirkpatrick. And it says, Who will follow Jesus? Who will follow Jesus? I'll just read the first stanza of this one. Standing for the right, holding up his banner in the thickest fight, listening for his orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus? Serving him today. And then the other one I was looking for, and they happened to be, you know, one on one side of the page and one on the other when I found the one I was looking for. I will follow Jesus. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the flowers are blooming and the sweet waters flow. Everywhere He leads me, I would follow on, walking in His footsteps till the crown be won. And then the chorus is what I was really looking for. Follow, I will follow Jesus. Anywhere, everywhere, I will follow on. Follow, I will follow Jesus. Everywhere He leads me, I will follow on. Down in the valley with my Savior I would go, where the storms are sweeping and the darkness and the dark waters flow. With His hand to lead me, I will never fear. Dangers cannot fright me if my Lord is near. And then the chorus. Down in the valley or upon the mountain steep, close beside the Savior, would my soul ever keep. He will lead me safely in the path that He has trod, up to where they gather on the hills of God. R.E. Hudson wrote that one. The call of Jesus to an individual. The call of God through Jesus. The call of God to an individual is not complete until the one being called answers. Are you ready to answer God's call to you? Are you ready to communicate with God? Is it for salvation that He is offering you forgiveness? To save you from your sin and to give you eternal life? Is it to be a preacher? Hadn't been that bad, folks. From my side, at least. To be a preacher. To be a choir member. Choir meet at 5 o'clock tonight here at this church. Is He calling you to be a choir member? Is He calling you to be a youth leader? Is He calling you to be a teacher? A church in the church teacher or out of the church teacher? Salvation, discipleship, a task, a job, a responsibility. Turn to 376 in your hymnal. It's an expression of faith, a commitment to the Lord. I have decided to follow Jesus. One of the verses in here says, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Salvation is something between you and God. Jesus has provided it for you. Now, we don't want to forget those others, but you need to know that this is Jesus calling you. And though none are with you, you make it right with God. And then you can go witness to those and give them an opportunity and tell them what God has done for you. 376, I have decided to follow Jesus. 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 No turning back, no turning back. the world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me. No turning back, no turning back. None go with me, still here will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Will you decide now to follow Jesus? Will you decide now to follow Jesus? No turning back, no turning back.
And may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause His face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace this day, and even through eternity. Amen.